Self-Evident is a platform that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Today we're going to be covering a lot. We're going to be covering the fact that Target has rolled back their DEI policy, something that I thought I would never see in my lifetime. Also, Trump has banned transgenders from the military. We're going to be getting into all of this and more on today's episode. But first, I need to tell you about an event that is coming up. And you've heard me plug this event before, and I will not stop plugging it. Illinois Family Institute is hosting their 11th annual Worldview Conference. And this year, they are focusing on the high calling of marriage and family. You do not need to look too far in our culture today to see that marriage and family is under attack in every kind of way. We're seeing that young people are waiting longer and longer to get married, to have families. And there's a lot of this that has to do with our worldview of why is marriage important? Why is marriage worth aspiring to? Why are having children worth aspiring to? So that's what this conference is focusing on. And our special speakers include Dr. Brad Wilcox and Scott Phelps. And I'm just going to tell you about them so that you can know that you're going to be getting some of the best information and some of the best advice. Dr. Brad Wilcox is the professor of sociology and is the director of the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia. And in his sessions, Dr. Wilcox will explore how strong marriages determine the strength of a nation. In addition to this, he will delve into why young people are waiting longer for marriage and family and how we can fix this. Scott Phelps is the founder and executive director of the National Marriage Campaign. And in his session, Scott Phelps will discuss the best way to restore a culture that honors and desires marriage. In addition to this, his second session will include discussion on embracing a culture of marriage. The cost of this event is $15 per person, $35 for families. However, Illinois Family Institute is extending a very special offer for students. Your ticket is completely free. Go to illinoisfamily.org/events to find out more. That's illinoisfamily.org/events. Okay, our first topic for the day is going to be the fact that Trump signed a slew of executive orders that involve the military. And one of these includes that transgenders are no longer welcome. Now, this has involved a lot of pushback, as I'm sure you can expect, of people saying, oh, you're not being inclusive, you're not being fair, you're not being sensitive to the sexual preferences or the sexual orientation, you're discriminating. However, policy is great. And Ben Johnson from the Washington Stand noted that President Trump's new policy will, quote, end invented and an identification-based. Ben Johnson from the Washington Stand noted that this new policy will end invented and identification-based pronoun usage, stop members of one sex from using the opposite sex's sleeping, changing, or bathing facilities except under extraordinary operational necessity, such as in war zones. It also classifies gender ideology and DEI as radical extremist and irrational theories and will set about abolishing the DEI bureaucracy. In addition to this, this is what the policy states. Quote, it is the policy of the United States government to establish high standards for troop readiness, lethality, cohesion, honesty, humility, uniformity, and integrity. This policy is inconsistent with the medical, surgical, and mental health constraints on individuals with gender dysphoria. This policy is also inconsistent with shifting pronoun usage or use of pronouns that inaccurately reflect an individual's sex. Anyone expressing a false gender identity divergent from an individual sex cannot satisfy the rigorous standards necessary for military service. Beyond the hormonal and surgical medical interventions involved, adoption of a gender identity inconsistent with an individual's sex conflicts with a soldier's commitment to an honorable, truthful, and disciplined lifestyle, even in one's personal life. A man's assertion that he is a woman and his requirement that others honor this falsehood is not consistent with the humility and selflessness required of a service member. And this order is absolutely right. If you are so mentally unstable, and gender dysphoria is mental instability, that is not to say that I have no compassion for those who genuinely struggle with gender dysphoria, who are confused in that way, who have that dysmorphia with their body, it is definitely a very real struggle for many people. However, because you have that instability and that disorder in your life, you are not well equipped to handle the high stress situations that war and military service puts on your mind and your body. You just can't do it. You become a liability to people that are relying on you. And in addition to this, this order also cites that enlistees must be, quote, free of medical conditions or physical defects that may reasonably be expected to require excessive time lost from duty for necessary treatment or hospitalization. And if you think about all the detransitioners that have come forward, they'll say how in-depth their treatment was when they struggled with gender dysphoria, when they were on these treatments, on these hormones. They were dependent upon a medical system day in and day out for drugs, for hormone blockers, for whatever the case may be. It becomes a liability, especially when you place this in a military context. And this is what Ben Johnson had to say, quote, transgender procedures took trans-identifying soldiers out of readiness about half the year, according to a comprehensive report authorized in the first Trump administration. The memorandum found the nation's 994 active duty service members who identify as transgender accounted for more than 30,000 mental health visits. And all, quote, transitioning service members in the Army and Air Force have averaged 167 and 159 days of limited duty, respectively, over a one-year period, constituting a readiness risk. 994 service members accounted for over 30,000 mental health visits. Again, what I said previously, gender dysphoria, transgenderism is a mental disorder. You are mentally unstable. You have no business putting your life on the line, putting other people's lives in your hands, being a team member in high stress, high consequence situations. You have no business being there, especially on our tax dollars. When you are so mentally unstable that 1,000 of you accounted for over 30,000 mental health visits. I mean, that is mental instability that we do not need in the military. What we need in the military are people who are strong, who are confident, who have their wits about them, who are not mentally unstable, who have the ability to put their life on the line, who have the ability to have other people put their lives in their hands as team members and make high concentrated, high stress situations de-escalate as quickly as possible. Someone who is mentally unstable does not have the ability to do that. And because of that, they have no business being in the military, being a police officer even, being a fireman, being a paramedic. These high stress situations require clear-headedness. And if you are going to mental health visit after mental health visit, you do not have the ability to handle that kind of job. And this is a huge win for our military because, like I said, I want to know, as a married woman who has a baby on the way, that my taxpaying dollars are going towards men and women who want to protect this country, who are confident, who handle high stress situations well. I do not want to give it to people who need to go see a psychiatrist day in and day out. That's not who I want protecting me. As an American, I want my taxpaying dollars to go towards a highly competent military. I don't want my taxpaying dollars to go towards people who are going to their psych day in and day out. That is not someone that I trust with my life. That is not someone I trust with my family's lives. In addition to this, Trump signed another executive order that abolishes DEI in the military. And honestly, it just scares me that we had DEI in the military in general. And this goes back to a video I posted on Self-Evidence Platform talking about DEI policies in the LA department. This is during the height of the fires in LA. And one of the videos that the department posted was this DEI initiative of this person talking about how when you are dying in a fire, people love it when they see someone who represents them save them. And I remember thinking that, no, actually, I don't want someone who looks like me trying to rescue me in a fire. I'm 5'4". And if I saw a woman running towards me that was my height and my build, I would be scared out of my mind because I would know for certain that she did not have the physical capacity to be able to lift my 6'5 husband out of a fire. I would just know that. And in fact, I wouldn't really have that much confidence that she could help me if we're the same height and build. So no, I don't want someone who looks like me to rescue me from a fire. In the same way, I don't want someone who looks like me necessarily to protect me in the military. Again, when I think of highly qualified military members, I think of strong men. I think of men who are confident in their abilities. I think of men who are highly trained. I think of men who don't get emotional. I think of men who are able to handle high stress environments very well. I think of men who are not confused about their gender and need to see a psychiatrist weekly. I think of those kind of men, to be honest. And so no, I don't want someone who looks like me necessarily to be in military service. So this is what the executive order states, quote, "Unfortunately, in recent years, civilian and uniformed leadership alike have implemented DEI programs and their attendant race and sex preferences within the armed forces. These actions undermine leadership, merit, and unit cohesion, thereby eroding lethality and force readiness." Absolutely. If you are in the military or you're chosen to be in a position in the military, not because you earned it, but because your skin color matches or because your gender matches or because your socioeconomic status matches, that makes me fear for my life, because that makes me think that you have no business being there. You have no qualifications to be in the position that you are, making decisions that impact possibly my life and the life of my family. In addition to this, I think it'd be very hard to act as a team, as team members, if there are people there that are obviously there, not on merit, but because their skin color matched or whatever the case may be. It'd be very hard to be a really good team member when you have that disparity in ability. In addition to that, yeah, it does erode lethality and force readiness. Again, if you have someone there who isn't able to hit a target within the consigned time that maybe someone else is, you have an off-kilterness of ability when it comes to executing orders. And that definitely puts lives at risk. That puts your team members' lives at risk. That puts the mission at risk, whatever the case may be. So DEI in the military, in police force, in firefighting, in paramedics, whatever the case may be, DEI in general, is just not a good idea. People deserve to be in positions that they are because they earn them, not because they come from the right background or they have the right skin color or they're the right gender. All right. In addition to this, we have quotes from Representative Keith Self. He's a Republican from Texas, and he had a comment based on this executive order that Trump signed to abolish DEI. He said, "This is absolutely necessary. It was perfect tone by the president. We will return the military to lethality, to deterring our adversaries across the world. This will help with recruiting. This will help with training. This will help with morale. This is the way it's done." And he couldn't be more accurate. If you actually remember, if you think back a few years when DEI was a big push in the military, especially sexual orientation, I don't know if you guys saw any strange ads, but I certainly did, of promoting the military, and it was an LGBTQ inclusion. And funny enough, recruitment numbers went down. U.S. Army Recruitment Command reported that in 2023, only 76% of their quota was met for recruitment. In 2022, 74% was met for recruitment. Now, it was better in 2023. It went up to, I believe it was 110%, which is great. Now, it was better in 2024. They did meet their quota for recruitment for 2024. And this is just the U.S. Army. This isn't the Marines or the Navy. This is just Army statistics that I pulled. And it's funny that they were confused about why they were having recruitment issues. And yet I would look at their recruitment videos and I saw the problem. They were not making the military look lethal like it needs to look. They were not making the military look competent. They were making the military look like this fun rainbow flag Boy Scout joining thing. And if you're a young man and you're serious about wanting to protect and defend your country, if you see a video like that, the odds of you actually wanting to join up for that branch of military or the military in general goes down by a lot. And that's what they found. So this is a huge win. In fact, a YouGov poll found that an overwhelming percent of veterans opposed racial and gender preferences in military promotions. Go figure. 94% opposed this. So veterans are happy to return to the way military operations and military recruitment used to work, that you get your promotions based off of your merit and you earning that position, not because you fit a certain mold or quota. However, of course, we have Democrats that are very sad about this. Representative Mark Takano, a Democrat from California, of course, called this policy beyond shameful. However, what is actually beyond shameful is, again, having people in our military that have not earned it, having people in our military that are not competent, having people in our military that drain taxpayer dollar resources because they need to see a psychiatrist weekly because of mental health disorders. That is what is beyond shameful, that is what became of our military just a year ago. So I'm very thankful to the Lord again for his mercy and giving us President Trump and the abolition of these stupid policies and the enactment of a policy that determines that no, if you're going to be a service member, you need to not be mentally unstable. That is the bare minimum, in my opinion. In addition to this, Trump made a huge win for service members who were forced to either leave or fired because they did not get the COVID-19 shot. According to Ben Johnson from the Washington Stand, quote, Trump also signed an executive order reinstating all soldiers whom Joe Biden dismissed or left the U.S. Armed Services for refusing to take the COVID-19 shot. More than 8,000 soldiers will revert to their former rank and receive full back pay, benefits, bonus payments, or compensation. Something really great worth noting, though, is that this policy doesn't just reinstate people who were fired or forcibly removed from service. This also includes people who voluntarily left the military rather than obey Biden's order to take the controversial shot, which has been tied to heart problems, strokes, neurological disorders, and as yet unnamed condition that mimics the symptoms of long COVID. Quote, an Inspector General's report found Biden-Harris administration bureaucrats denied religious exemptions en masse to all those already scheduled to retire or leave the services, spending just 12 minutes analyzing requests. Some 70% of early service members removed from service over the shot received the lower general discharge rather than an honorable discharge. What a snub in the face to men and women who put their lives on the line to defend this country for so long that they weren't even given an honorable discharge. They weren't even given the time of day, only 12 minutes to analyze religious exemptions. I can't imagine how infuriated these people were, how dismissed they felt, and I cannot imagine how justified they feel now being reinstated or at least compensated for the time that they lost for gaining back what is rightfully due them. So again, a huge win, bringing these policies back that protect the transparency and integrity of our military and give them the respect and honor their due is just wonderful. And speaking of DEI policies, Target, one of the biggest retail stores in America, is rolling back theirs. Over the past 2 years, many companies have received pushback for pride, for woke agendas that they've brought to the table in different marketing campaigns and different products that they sell. Included in these companies are like Walmart, Ford, Harley Davidson, Toyota, etc., that are all rolling back their DEI policies. However, Target is joining the ranks, which is something that I never thought I would see. And yet it seems that money eventually talks. But to refresh your memory, Target started their moral downward spiral back in 2014 when they became one of the largest corporations to promote same-sex marriage. Pioneer Press at the time ran a hit piece and said Target finally threw corporate weight behind marriage equality. So this is 2014. Fast forward to 2016, and they became one of the first companies to open women's restrooms and fitting rooms to include biological men, which is a step that many companies did not take until years down the road. So they were very much so pioneers of radical gender ideology from the get-go. And CEO Brian Cornell has just continued to lead Target down a more progressive path. However, the nail in the coffin for Target, if you remember, was back in 2023 when they included tuck-friendly swimwear, chest binders, and packing underwear, and they marketed this for kids. again, this was Pride Month, May, June era of 2023. And that's when parents had enough. The woke agenda had gone too far. We saw massive pushback, massive calls for boycotts of all Target stores, boycotts, which I personally joined. And Target lost over $25 billion in revenue. They endured shareholder lawsuits, dropped sales for the first time in over 6 years, major dips in stock prices. And in fact, these stock prices still have not recovered to this day. Yet despite all of this, the CEO, Brian Cornell, was in denial. In fact, in May of 23, he mocked the outrage that parents were having over this marketing ploy. And he even called the tuck-friendly swimwear and chest binders, quote, a great thing for our brand. And he even said that this type of clothing was driving sales. How far he was from the truth was mind-boggling. Again, they lost over $25 billion in revenue. So fast forward to today, it seems as though Target is finally acknowledging that maybe they went too far in 2023. Because I remember walking into a Target in 2024 to see, check out the Pride stuff. And I walked into my Target in June, middle of June, Pride Month, and there was nothing. I saw 4th of July. I saw maybe a couple things here and there that had a rainbow on them or said that love is love. I saw nothing for kids. There was no Pride collection. There was no Pride setup. It seems like they were already starting to walk back a little bit. There were rumblings. However, a major shift occurred recently, and Robbie Starbuck, who has been a pioneer of having companies roll back their DEI policies, posted these major shifts on X. He said, quote, surveys, Target will no longer participate in the HRC's Woke Corporate Equality Index or any other DEI index products. Target will not market Pride merchandise to kids, which is crazy that that needs to be written down in a policy to not market gender confusion and sexual orientation things towards kids, towards minors. But hey, we take wins where we can get them. Sponsorships. Target will further evaluate corporate partnerships to ensure they are directly connected to our roadmap for growth. And this is where Robbie Starbuck notes that you should read this as no sponsoring events that sexualize kids. Again, it's crazy. This needs to even be stated, that this even needs to be put in a policy to leave kids alone from sexual confusion or sexual topics in general. But again, it's a step in the right direction, so we take a win where we can get one. DEI. Target will end their three-year DEI goals. Supplier diversity. There will be no preferential treatment for diverse suppliers. Target will end their racial equality action and change initiatives. And Target employee resource groups will be expected to focus on the core business, mentorship, and growth, not wokeness. These are basic business policies that you don't prefer a supplier just because they're diverse. You prefer a supplier because they're a good supplier. Or you focus on making your employees better employees, better in customer service, better team members, not how woke they are. It's a shame that these things, again, even need to be policies. But I'm so surprised that Target has taken this step back, because I was not expecting this in my lifetime. I thought that they were going to be one of those corporations that is always radically woke. And yet I was wrong. Money eventually talks. We vote with our dollars. We vote where we spend our money. We vote with our culture. And I think Target has seen, at least the CEO and the shareholders, etc., they've seen the cultural shift that took place over the past election, how more and more people are waking up to the realities of the radicalization of the left, and how trans and kids, it was just a step too far. Target went too far in 2023. Biden administration went too far in their push for children to receive these gender, quote unquote, affirming care. It's too much. Parents, when you start messing with their kids, say no. We are currently riding the wing of success with all of these executive orders, with these policies being walked back by these mega corporations. And I'm just so thankful to the Lord for the work that He is doing already through the Trump administration. I'm so glad that you were able to join for this episode. I hope it was enlightening to you and a fun one for you to consider. And until next time, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. This is Self-Evident.